Well, we've been talking about the armor of God, and as we were sitting with the amazing speakers that were there, you know, when we see speakers, they are powerful. Don't you agree? We had some powerful speakers. But when you sit down with them and speak to them and hear the journey that they've walked, you know, you realize that that anointing comes out of severe trial and tribulation. You know, sometimes we think they are so blessed because they have big churches or they have big ministries and they might have more fun. You know, they have just it. But actually, when you really hear about the trials and the tribulations, you realize, wow, they've been through many trials and tribulations, and where the enemy has literally tried to take them out, right? And so the only reason why they're where they are is because they've kept their focus on the fight of faith. Amen. So, I mean, for me, it encouraged me, because sometimes we think, you know, we're just the only ones struggling. And when they tell you the things that they go through, it's so much what we're experiencing. And so that is encouraging, because we're all fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. So I just want to say, for your life, if you feel like, oh, it's heavy, it's just know that everybody's going through the same trials and tribulations, and it's intensifying in this time. We can see it, because evil has reared its ugly head and it's not ashamed to hide anymore, right? It used to be there, but it used to be very kind of hidden. Now it's like there and it doesn't care, right? It's just exposed. And so it gives us more the reason to be more bold. Amen. More bold and zealous and violent. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, but the violence take it by force. So we have to be violent to take the kingdom. We have to be violent. And that violence is talking about spiritual violence. It's talking about fighting the good fight of faith and standing on what Jesus has already accomplished for us. So when we're talking about the armor of God, and that is our theme, we didn't know that this was going to happen in Israel before, but God so divinely timed everything. The Apostle Paul writes about the armor of God and being a soldier. Now, having a soldier's mentality, soldiers and civilians don't think the same. Civilians are casual. Civilians are talking about casual things. They're talking about the mall, going shopping, the latest movie. But soldiers are totally focused on one thing, and that is defeating the enemy. They're only focused on the fight, because if they, for a moment, lose their focus, they could lose their lives, or one of their fellow soldiers could lose their lives. So there's no room for a civilian mentality. And the Apostle Paul is trying to focus us and say, you need to focus on the fight that we are having at hand, because a civilian mentality is going to bring loss to the kingdom of God. And so when he starts writing this letter, the most profound thing about this letter that he's writing is the place where he's writing from. This guy is on another level. He is sitting in prison. He is chained when he's writing this letter. And verse 19 says, I'm going to make known to you the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. He says, I'm a representative in chains. So even though he's in chains, he doesn't lose sight of his calling. I am a representative. Somebody has sent me. I'm an ambassador. I'm not here on my own mission. It is not my mission. I have been sent as a representative. I'm not representing my own brand. I'm not representing my own ministry. I am representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, I want you to pray that I will speak boldly. You see, when you're in chains and somebody threatens you to stop speaking, you may obey them. Because if they've already got you in chains, they may do something worse to you if you don't stop speaking. That's the reality of being in chains, imprisoned. He doesn't pray, he doesn't say, pray for me that they will set me free. He doesn't say, pray for them that they won't whip me. He says, pray for me that I will speak with more boldness the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you see the focus? The focus is only on one thing, and that's preaching the gospel. And even in chains, his focus is not on, guys, you won't believe it, I'm in chains. He's not saying these guys, these Roman officials, these pharmaceutical Jews that put me here. He doesn't mention them once because that's not important. The only thing important to him is that I am a representative and I have a commission. I cannot be thinking about anything else. But I have one purpose and one thing, and that is to preach the gospel. So pray for me that I don't lose focus of that which I'm sent to do, being an ambassador for Christ. But what's even more astounding, if you read later in the letter, it says, but that you also may know my affairs, I'm going to send Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, and he will make all things known to you, whom I have sent you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. This guy is in prison, but he is so concerned about the others' hearts that they will not grieve because he's in prison. Can you think that's on another level? He's not crying about his misery, that he's in prison, that he's saying, I'm going to send somebody to comfort you because I don't want you to be grieving over me. Is that a shepherd? Is that a general in the faith? A commander in the army of God? Don't worry about me. I'm going to send somebody so that you may feel better. It's next level stuff. It's maturity. It's not, oh, poor me, I'm the one. Yeah, no. I want you to be of good cheer. I want you to carry on with the commission. So I'm going to send somebody to comfort you. We're in the West. We're free. We can preach the gospel. We can do what God's called us to do. But those in persecuted countries, in China, in the Middle East, they're praying for us. We have all the freedom that we have and need, but they are praying for us. Because we have the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the cares of life robbing us from knowing what our commission is. So Paul's saying to us while he's in prison, he says, I want you to step into the armor of God. Step out of the civilian lifestyle and step into the call that God has for you as a soldier of the King. Commitment. Commitment. Joel chapter 2 says that the army of God moves in such formation that nobody breaks rank. Everybody is in position and nobody is breaking rank. That's the army of God. And so we're in this place where we have to start taking up our position in the kingdom, and we cannot break rank. We have to know, what is it that I'm called to do? And if somebody else is not fulfilling their calling, that's on them. They're going to be judged. If there's a lack in the church because they are not filling that lack, I can't go fill that person's responsibility. I have to do what God's called me to do, and I have to be laser focused on my calling and completing the task that God has for me. And it doesn't always feel comfortable, and it doesn't always feel good. And as you're moving through life, things are, you know, it's sometimes a little bit of a struggle, but you have to push through and keep doing what God has called you to do. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That has got to do with relationship. You can't live on yesterday's manna or revelation, yesterday's experiences. You have to be in his might today. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might today. You've got to be in the spirit today, momentarily. You have to be praying today. You have to be in the word today. It's out of relationship, because the confidence to fight comes from that relationship, from that knowing. Those that know the Lord shall do mighty exploits. Those that know, that word know is intimacy. Because you know that God is backing you up. So you have total boldness. It's the kind of knowing that I don't care if somebody's coming with me, I am going to do what God has called me to do. I'm not seeing if anybody's cheering me on. I'm not seeing if I've got the approval of man. I'm still going to do what God has called me to do. I'm not seeing if my kids are there, or are they fighting with one another, or no, I have to go, because in my obedience, they will come along. Amen. As I run, they will see. It's an example. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are wiles? Wiles are deceptions. They're deceptions. You know, the devil doesn't come and say, commit murder, right? He deceives you into becoming busy with things that are not part of the kingdom and are not destiny for your family. So you choose the lesser way, because he deceives you to think, it's okay. It's okay if you're not 100% in. It's okay if you're not 100% passionate. But he's deceiving you to take the lesser portion. Jacob and Esau did not value his birthright. And so he sold it. Well, Jacob was a deceiver, but he understood the value of the birthright. And my question to you is, do you understand the value of being a child of God? It's so precious. It's so precious. There's nothing more precious. I heard a lady in the church say to me the other day, she said, I'm going to serve the Lord whether my kids come or whether they don't. I'm serving the Lord. She has made a decision that her focus is Jesus. She can't be crying over her kids anymore. She has to serve the Lord. And that's what Jesus said. He says, if I am not more important than your husband or your children, then you're not worthy of me. In actual fact, it says if you don't hate, but it means if you don't love less your wife, your husband, or your kids, you're not worthy of me. And sometimes our family can be a distraction to us. But what we don't realize is if we say 100% yes, they will see and they will come. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So God fills you with his anointing, and then you start fighting with somebody in the church. That just gets your anointing leaking. You're distracted. You're fighting with your spouse. It's sapping all your energy. It's sapping all your energy. Have you ever felt when you fight with somebody, you just feel totally depleted? Because you're not, you know, when you're in the fight for the Lord, you don't get tired because the Spirit is energizing you. When you're in the fight against spiritual darkness and you're preaching the gospel, it feeds you. It doesn't deplete you. So if you feel depleted, it's because you're fighting the wrong fight. You're not in the fight. God wants us to be in the fight. And so there's so many opportunities for us to get distracted with fights that are not for us to fight. God has not called you to fight certain fights. And it's totally sapping your energy. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, which means you're pushing, withstand. Jesus has already won the victory. So we fight from a place of victory, and we stand and we withstand the evil forces. We don't have to obtain the victory. He's already won it. We've already won. So that means we go with confidence, right? But sometimes it's praying things through. So when you're feeling horrible on the inside or you're feeling anxious, it's going into your room, it's getting on your knees, and it's starting to pray. We have to withstand. When you have a feeling your kids are drifting or they're not where they're supposed to be, don't let that slide. Don't wait till they're 18 and you're in a battle. No, start praying now. Father God, encounter my kids. Open their spiritual eyes. Lord God, help me. Give me wisdom to parent this child. Don't let things slide that the Holy Spirit shows you, because he's showing you something so that you can go in and pray and intercede. Those are the weapons of our warfare. We don't have to be anxious like the world. We have the tools to fight in a different way. And having done all, you stand. So if you feel I've done it, I've prayed, I've healed my weapons, and it's still a hectic fight, you just stand. You stand on the promises. You keep standing. And as I said on Wednesday, it's in the perseverance that your character is formed. It's in the perseverance. It's in the standing. When you say, I will not bow to the idols of the world. I will not be moved by the lies the enemy is telling me about my kids. I will not be moved by the uneasiness that I'm feeling. I will be assured that that which God has promised me, I will obtain. It's in that standing and withstanding that your character and your resolve is formed to be even more concrete. The zealous, the violent, you become violent about the things of God. Amen. having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness that covers your heart. Amen. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus. It's not our own righteousness, but then we walk out the righteousness of Jesus. Amen. You can't just keep sinning, keep losing your temper, keep, and oh yeah, the Lord forgives me. You have to start walking in righteousness. You have to start aligning your feet. You have to start walking out what God has put in you. You see, He's put in you the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But because it's in you doesn't mean that it's working out. You have to say, I am patient, I am kind, I am loving, I have self-control. You have to choose to walk in the Spirit. That is maturity when you don't feel like it. You have to choose to withstand the evil thoughts and temptations to just blurt out. Amen? And that's the fight that we fight, is we choose. The breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As born-again Christians, we are to share the gospel wherever we go. It's something that we practice. And the more we do it, the better we get at it. But first of all, it starts with, in your prayer closet, saying, Lord, give me opportunity to share the gospel today. When you pray those prayers, you're going to recognize when the opportunity comes. So every morning, it's saying, Lord, use me today to share the gospel. Father God, I pray for opportunities to pray for people. Father God, I'm praying for the lost. Help me to be part of sharing the gospel. I'm prepared. Give me that preparedness. And as you go and as you start preaching the gospel, the Lord is going to teach you how to do it. Because there are going to be times where you get it wrong, right? Or it becomes like a fight or something like that. And God's like, no, that's not how we do it. We share the gospel and we redirect conversations that are going in the wrong. And we say, oh, I get that, but let me carry on and share the gospel. So you become trained at just keeping it to the gospel message. Amen. The more you use your garments, the more you use your armor, the more skilled you become at it. Above all, taking the shield with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all. Now, faith, that shield of faith, covers your whole body. And the Bible says that without faith is impossible to please God. Amen. And the righteous shall live by faith. So you can't wake up one morning and say, oh, I'm so sick of living by faith. Can I just chill today? I'm so sick of fighting this fight. I just want to relax. No, every day I've got to take my helmet, put it on, get my thoughts in alignment. Because believe you me, the moment you wake up, those bad thoughts are there every day, right? You look at somebody and a bad thought comes in your head and you're like, ugh, you irritate me. Just the look on your face annoys me, right? What is that? It's a bad thought from the enemy. It's an accusation, right? We always have accusing thoughts towards people. Where does that come from? The enemy. He's giving you accusing thoughts towards people in the church that irritate you. He gives you those accusing thoughts towards your mom. He gives you those accusing thoughts towards your husband. And your husband's annoyed with you, right? What is that? It's the enemy. So we have to put on the helmet of salvation and say, no, Lord, I thank you. And we have to actually speak it out. Thank you, Lord, for this person in the church. Thank you that I love them by faith. If you don't like them, I love them by faith, okay? So you have to actually say it loud. Thank you, Lord, that that person, I love them by faith, not because I like them. You're not going to like everybody. because you're going to like some people more than you like other people. That's just natural. But in the body of Christ, we don't choose who we love. You don't just love the nice people. You love everybody. You don't just love people that you think are cool. You love everybody. How do we love people? By faith. And the moment you see people through the eyes of faith, you don't see the flaws. You see the greatness within them. And a true shepherd does not look at the flaws of people. A true shepherd sees right past the flaws and sees the greatness in people. So faith goes beyond what I'm feeling, and especially in relationships, we've got to love people by faith, because this is what we will be known for, our love. This is what we will be known for, our love for one another. And guess what? Faith works by love. Did you know that faith works by love? So if you want to be greater in your faith, up your love walk. Increase your love walk. How do you increase your love walk? By faith. Say, Lord, I thank you that this person is amazing, that they have, Lord, open my eyes to see the greatness within them. Open my eyes to see the gift that they are. And the next time you greet them by faith. You hug them by faith. And see what God does and shifts every area of your life, because you're not operating out of a place of faith. That's maturity. That's maturity. Take the helmet of salvation, and that helmet of salvation is your mindset. God has come to redeem us from the curse of the law. So if you are always negative and critical, put on the helmet of salvation and start thinking, have an abundance mentality. An abundance mentality wants you to win, wants me to win. An abundance mentality wants you to speak life over me, but I want to speak life over you. Abundance mentality says, I can be rich and you can be rich. There's enough. I don't have to have more than you. You know, God is going to bless me and he's going to bless you. An abundance mentality is saying, I want you to have a new house and I want a new house. I want you to have a great car and I can have a great car. The abundance mentality says you can be beautiful and I can be beautiful. An abundance mentality says you can have a good marriage and I can have a good marriage. So the mindset of Christ is one of wanting other people to do well and wanting us to do well. It's not a critical mindset where we're criticizing people or even criticizing ourselves. We know that we are made to overcome. I am more than an overcomer. So when I wake up, I'm phenomenal. When I lock eyes with you, Lord, I see me. When I look into the mirror, I'm like, Lord, I see you. I'm so beautiful. I'm so successful. Lord, I am so creative. I am such a shepherd, Lord. So you first have to love yourself, because self-haters hate other people. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, wow, you're amazing. You're amazing. Thank you, Lord. I'm so toned. I'm so healthy. I love healthy food. Amen. Thank you, Father God, that I love to go for walks. I'm healthy, Lord God. I have healthy habits. Thank you, Father God, that I have healthy financial habits, that I'm rich, that you teach me to be a responsible steward of my money. Thank you, Lord. It's that mindset of success. Christ's mindset is a healed mindset. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that sword of the Spirit is a rhema word for today. It's a dagger. It's actually not a sword. It's a dagger that God gives you for that day to kind of get the enemy. The enemy is going to say, Well, you know what? You're not going to make it. Well, God gives you a rhema word for your future. It's a specific word. So when you feel down, you know, this is my rhema word. God has given me a word. And so that's why when God gives you a specific word for this season, you write it down and you act on it. So when I'm anxious or I don't know what's happening, I'll say, Lord, give me a strategy for this situation. When God gives me that strategy, I immediately speak it out and I act on it. And those that are called to run with me will run with me. But I'm not going to ask somebody's opinion whether they feel like that's the right thing. Because once God has given me a word, your opinion doesn't matter to me. But too many people are asking other people what they think of the word that God gave you. What do you think about that? Well, they're not going to think it's a good idea. It's not their word. It's not their word. So they're going to be so removed from what God has given you. So you have to run with that. The dagger that God gives you. Praying always with all prayer and supplication for all the saints. Praying with prayer and perseverance. Say perseverance and supplication. So perseverance is, I'm not going to pray today, and if it doesn't happen, it's like, oh, I tried that. Perseverance and long suffering is where character is formed. When you really understand perseverance, that's where the resolve comes and you will not let up. That's when you become violent in the spirit. That's mine. That's mine. Satan, that's mine. I'm taking that. I'm going to go get what the enemy has stolen. I'm going to go get back. Remember when David and them went and got back what the enemy stole? The enemy wants to steal stuff from you and he may have stolen something for you. You go get it back. You go get back what you've lost in your marriage. You go get back what you've lost in your finances. It's perseverance by prayer and supplication. Now, prayer is sometimes a lost habit in the church of God. It's not done. It's not that important, right? But when we start praying, it's not a duty. It's a privilege to pray. It's a privilege to pray. Have you ever felt like when you start praying, you kind of start, but when you finish praying, you're like, whoa, that was good. That was good. We were praying for women's conference Thursday mornings, and it's, you know, mornings are tough, right? Because you're dropping the kids, but we get on that Zoom call. None of us have done our hair. You know, we look not that good, but we're ready to pray, maybe sometimes 5 minutes late. But then we start praying and we feel, whoa, that was a good prayer session. Amen? So God wants us to be faithful in prayer, in our individual prayer and our prayer as a church. Corporate prayer is important. Look at the Church of Acts. They used to come together and they used to pray. So as a church, we are starting to pray on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10. It's not a long time. But as a church, we have to be faithful in prayer. If we read the book of Acts, our church has to mirror the book of Acts. Or otherwise, we're playing church. And we don't want to be playing church because it's a waste of time, right? We want to be praying together. We want to be breaking bread together. That's community. We want to be evangelizing because that's another thing that the book of Acts church did. And then we want to be making disciples, which means we're training people how to live according to God's word. So that's the model of the New Testament church. So we have to live out the model of the New Testament church. Because if we are a church that does entertainment-based church, when the shaking comes, we will not stand. Because the Bible says there will be a shaking. And only those that are founded on the word of God, which is Jesus. The word of God is Jesus. If our model is based on the word of God, we will stand. So you have to ask yourself, is my life based on the model of the New Testament church? That is prayer. As a family, we need to be praying together. So we're going to start praying together as a church, but I want to encourage you as a family to start praying together. It's prayer, breaking bread together. So as a family, we have to do it in our little family units, breaking bread together, sitting together, having dinner together, speaking to one another, having communion together, sometimes reading the Bible together, right? We have to understand what that looks like. And then we have to do evangelism, going out and sharing the gospel. And then it's teaching one another. So that's the model that we're going after. And where we've missed it, we're going to come back, right? We have to adjust, right? Life is a series of adjustments. You have to adjust towards the Word of God. And as you adjust towards the Word of God, you will become more prosperous and you'll be more confident of what you're doing and what your life looks like. You see, if you lack confidence, it's because you're not aligned with the Word of God. If there's any area of your life where you're struggling right now, you're probably not confident in that area. But God wants you to adjust towards the Word of God. And you might think you're totally in line. No, you're not. If you keep bleeding in one area of your life, you're not in line with the Word of God. It's the bottom line. You're missing something. And that's where we have to say, Lord, what am I missing? There's something that I'm missing. What does it get you to do? It gets you to start praying and it gets you to start reading the Word and saying, where am I missing it, Lord? And the exciting thing is he shows you, and as you adjust towards it, you become confident and you start living in victory. This is how God's Word works. You adjust, adjust, adjust. You start walking. The confidence comes, and now you're walking in authority. And that's what God wants with you. He wants you to lift your head up and start giving the orders. You have to be giving orders on the earth. Amen? So we want to live confidently, but to live in confidence, we have to adjust. It comes from prayer, fasting, reading the Word, evangelizing, praying. It's the whole armor of God. You can't choose, oh, I don't like that one about sharing the gospel, but I'll do that one. This one I'll do because that one's better for me, right? Well, some things are not as comfortable. I remember when I started sharing the gospel, it wasn't comfortable for me. I didn't like it. Okay, I was a bit sheepish. It was like, Jesus loves you, kind of. Got a plan and purpose for you. Kind of, oh, Lord, please swallow me up right now, kind of thing. Until God said to me, no, you've got to do it by faith. So I would be like, God has a plan and purpose for your life. What he did for me, he can do for you. Well, I started doing that, and eventually people started getting saved, and I was like, wow, this works. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Now I started becoming confident in sharing my faith. So God wants us, when we start living in confidence, that's when God starts shifting things in your life. You start living with authority. But if you are not in overcoming in certain areas of your life, you're a bit sheepish, kind of like a little bit ashamed. God is not, shame is not your portion. But you must be willing to search out the truth and to make the adjustments. Aren't you sick and tired of being where you're at? Right? We have to become sick and tired of being sick and tired. Right? We want to live in prosperity. We want to live in health. We want to live in confidence. We want to live in truth. And we want to live in authority. Amen? That's the life I want to live. So I have to adjust, 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 and walk in truth. So we're going to be doing that this year. And the last thing, praying always with prayer and suffering, and praying for the saints. We have to be praying for the saints. We don't just pray for our families. We've got to be praying for our church. We've got to be praying for our fellow church members. As you pray, say, Lord, who do you want me to pray for today? You have to be covering Pastor Jared and I in prayer. Amen? We need it. We need a lot of it. Okay? So pray for your families, but also pray for us. And then pray for Israel. The Bible says pray for Israel. Because through Israel, the nations of the world is blessed. That's God's model. He made the rules. We don't make it up. He just says, pray for Israel. We pray for Israel. Because as Israel prospers, every nation prospers. Amen. Well, let's close our eyes. Thank you, Father God, for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for an amazing conference. Thank you, Father God, that we adjust our lives, Father God. We make the adjustments necessary to align with your word, because as we heard, Lord, at conference this week, that as we align with your word, your grace comes, your prosperity comes, your blessing comes, Father God. So we adjust and we walk in alignment, Father God. Even in the hard times, we make those adjustments, Lord God. You may be listening today and you have not yet given your life to Jesus. You have not yet been born again. And I want to give you that invitation today. Do you want to give Jesus your life? If that's you, just raise your hand and say, I want to dedicate my life to Jesus. That's where it starts. That's where a life of victory starts. You can pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give my life to you. I'm tired of living a defeated life. Come into my life, Jesus. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Help me to surrender my entire life as I adjust to you. You are the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me now. In Jesus' name, amen.